Please do be seated. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God. Words are funny things, aren't they? They can take on different meanings depending on their context. And I wonder what the word grace means to you, what springs first into your mind. It might be that period of remission that is given, a period of grace before a fine or something is paid. You may have that the vision of the three graces in your minds. And if I had a screen, I might project that up so that it can help those of you who like to see things visually. It might be that prayer of thanks that many of us say at our mealtimes. Or it may just be an expression of goodwill. Well, in the Christian context, it's something quite particular that grace is the free and unmerited favour of God. And I hope as we explore this these passages this morning that we will understand what this second tool in our workbox of our path from sin to salvation is all about. Last week, Ian introduced us to the first tool, which is that of faith. And this week, we're going to be looking at grace. And then next week, David will be looking at Scripture as also being one of those things that we come to salvation through these things alone. Now, as we look at, we're going to primarily look at our passage from Ephesians this morning, so you might like to have that ready to glance at. And there is a complete transformation in this passage. In the beginning, we are described as being dead through our old nature, through the wrong actions, the trespasses and the wrong thoughts, the sins that we inevitably, through our human nature, tend to perform. And yet, by the end of this passage, Paul is saying we are now alive in our transformed lives. We are what God has made us to be, created in Jesus Christ for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life. So we're moving from a situation of being spiritually dead to one where we are now performing what God wants us to do in our new transformed lives. I had hoped that we might sing number 254, Don't Look It Up, but I'm assured we don't know it regularly. Perhaps something we can do. I am a new creation. God has made us new in Christ. No more in condemnation. Here, in the grace of God, I stand. So we are created in Christ Jesus for good works. That's part of that process of being sanctified, of which I spoke in the introduction a couple of weeks ago to this short course, of how once we have been saved, we then continue our pathway through being sanctified, which is being continually made holy to become more like Christ as we are transformed from those spiritual corpses, as Paul would describe us in verse 1, to being seated with Christ in verse 10. Last week we learnt that we are saved by faith alone in the redeeming work of Jesus as we believe in him and accept him as our Lord and Saviour. It's the only needful action that we need to undertake. It's our response to God's reaching out to us, because we know that it is God's power that has raised Christ and raised us with him. And if we believe that, then that is the simple act of faith that we need to perform. But ahead of that is God's initiating action that he has exercised through the power of the Holy Spirit, that he has expressed throughout the life and teaching of Jesus. As I said earlier, grace is the unearned and unmerited favor of God toward humankind. It's the love and mercy that is given to us by God because he wills it, not that we deserve it. And as we understand our place in God's kingdom, the salvation that he freely is giving to us, in fact, we are following a long history that has been affirmed throughout the Old Testament and comes into the New, of that loving faithfulness that God shows towards his people, and his favor, which is shown to us through his grace. And there are many examples in the Old Testament of his grace and favor towards us. And I hope you may be encouraged to take some notes, bright yellow ones this week, to differentiate from the other two we've had. And there are some references that I've suggested you might like to look at on your own, or whether you are able to come to one of our two Lent meals during the week. So one of those references, for example, is in the Psalms, Psalm 86. You, O Lord, are a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. Now, if you think that the Old Testament has no relevance to us today, then we have a lot still to understand about how God is continuing his purpose in mankind through that covenant promise that he made to his people through Abraham, and that he's actually been worked out now through us, his Christian followers. So, grace and faith together lead us to salvation and good works. Now, that's a dangerous thing for a Protestant to say, isn't it? But if we look at that last verse, verse 10, we are what he has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life. Not by good works. And that was a fundamental plank of the Reformation, that Luther realized that salvation was a free gift, not by anything that we do, but by God's grace, by his free gift to us. So the good works that Paul refers to here are the outcome of our faith and our salvation. It's how we live. It's how we share relationship with each other in this fellowship and outside in our community. How we live out that loving relationship that we have with God in our relationship with one another. So just hold on to that the good works of which Paul speaks is the outcome of our being made holy, more like Jesus. So this immeasurable grace that we have, the immeasurable riches, as Paul writes here, of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus, is a really central plank of our faith. That it is his fathomless favor, which is another way of speaking of his immeasurable riches of his grace. Grace which is without end, which is unlimited, which God has shown to those who, let's be blunt, deserved the very opposite. But it is by God's grace that we're being saved through faith. And grace and mercy are two of God's characteristics that we need to hold to. Because grace means that we do receive the salvation that we do not deserve. And mercy means we do not get the punishment which we do deserve. So in this time of Lent, as we're looking forward and preparing for Holy Week, for the blackness of Good Friday, we then celebrate the glory of the resurrection because we have received that free gift from God. I've said that grace is without limits. And there are several places, and I've referenced them within the notes, that tell us how God's grace is sufficient for us. In 2 Corinthians, we read, "My grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness." It's overflowing. In 1 Timothy, we read, "The grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus." And then we read at the very beginning of John's Gospel about the fulfilling nature of the grace of Jesus. "From his fullness, we have all received grace upon grace." And God's grace is abundant. In that wonderful letter of Paul to the Romans, which is so deep in theology and teaching, we read that if because of the one man's trespass, death exercised dominion through that one, much more surely will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness exercise dominion in the life through the one man, Jesus Christ. So you might need like to remember this as you're sitting in your living room at home, because we have S for sufficient, O for overflowing, F for fulfilling, and A for abundance. So as you go and sit on your sofa of grace after lunch, just remember these. It's just a little way that might help us to hold on to the fact that we are embraced by God's grace. And it's something, grace is something that costs us nothing, but cost Christ everything. And forgive me if I've shared this before, but some of you might know the acronym for grace: gifts received at Christ's expense. So we have received from God his unmerited favor at the expense of Jesus Christ's death for us at Calvary. But just as good works are a consequence of our salvation, so we have a responsibility as we receive God's grace to take up and exercise the gifts that the Holy Spirit has worked in us. There is a balance. We have received God's grace, and we are called to work out our responsibility to use the gifts that we have received as we work and witness as Christians in his world. So as we look to see how to fulfill that responsibility, let us just look at the example in Luke of that tax collector. We had the Pharisee who was being used by Jesus as the example of those who trusted in themselves that they were righteous. And we have the tax collector who recognized that the only righteousness that he could claim was through God. As he said, "God, be merciful to me, the sinner." And Jesus says, "I tell you, this man went down to his home justified rather than the other." Jesus has given us an invitation to join with him at his heavenly banquet. And we have that opportunity to share together around the table this morning. We can look back as we reflect on our lives at the profound work he has done for us on that cross at Calvary, and that we remember today. And we can look forward to that moment when he calls us to welcome him as he takes his place as king over the world at that moment of new creation. So we have received the gift of salvation by grace through faith. Don't doubt it. Don't think yourselves unworthy, because we are, but it is that God has made us worthy in his sight. It's nothing that we can do of our own. So receive that free gift. And let us ask God to continue to refresh and inspire us with this life-giving grace, so that each of us may truly live out our lives as disciples of Jesus and as ambassadors for his kingdom. So if it doesn't quite make sense, please do take a leaflet. It may help you as you reflect upon what I've said, that you may know God's grace and peace, and that it may be yours in abundance. Amen.